We're going to be finishing Romans chapter 12 this morning. I still entitled this Walking in Love. And our text is Romans 12, 12 through 21. And the reason I went back and overlapped from the last sermon is because I knew I wasn't going to get through the last sermon. I got stuck on the evil. You know, I got stuck on the temptation. And I didn't get through the rest of it. So we're going to rehash a little bit of what we talked about last week, and we'll finish the 12th chapter of Romans. We're almost done with the book of Romans in this series. Paul says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who curse you. Bless, and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, I thank you first of all for your Holy Spirit. Jesus, you said that He would take things that belong to you and reveal them to us. And we just thank you so much for that this morning. We thank you that we are privileged to be in this covenant that God has made with His church. And He said, I will be in them, and I will live in them, and I'll write my laws on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. I praise you for that privilege, Lord, that we have been redeemed by your blood. And we may call you Father, and you will call us your people. I ask this morning, Father, that your word will accomplish what you sent it out to do. This is one of the hardest commandments that you give to us, Lord. It requires the most struggle. And the greatest conflicts that we know within are built around walking in love. Father, I ask that you open our ears and our hearts to hear from heaven, that you rebuke any spirits who would cause distraction here, who would steal the word, who would cause any dissension. I thank you that you're in charge, Lord, and I thank you for the security that we have in that. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning of this chapter, the Apostle Paul states that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. And you know, as I said when we started that chapter, that sounds good in theory to us. You know, we agree with that. We belong to Christ. The people that John saw in Revelation in the throne room of heaven were singing and praising, and they said, you bought us with your blood. We're yours. Well, we like that ideology, but living it's hard. Because we're independent as a hog on ice. We got our own opinions. We know what we believe. We know how we want to be treated. And, you know, the Bible says, love your enemy as yourself. And we think like, I'll love the people that love me, but I ain't going to love my enemy. And I shared that with you a couple weeks ago. That's directly out of the Satanic Bible. I mean, almost word for word. Christian, if you think like that, you need to rethink. So, walking in love is a conscientious decision that all of us have to make. Now, we have the Holy Spirit. We who are professed believers in Christ, who have been immersed in the waters of baptism according to the commandment of the Lord, who have obeyed Him, He promises that we will receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is sent here to aid us, not make us walk in love. You're still a free will creature. I remember a woman told me one time, you know, before I got saved, I was free will. But after I got saved, it was all God's will. I don't have a free will. And my theological, you know, reply to that is, nonsense. Adam and Eve had a free will, and they chose to eat the fruit. You see, what the problem that you and I have, and I'm including myself in this, God has to command us to walk in love. In the law, He had to command the Jews to love Him, them to love each other. Why? Because we love ourselves supremely. Now, that's something God placed within us, that watching out for ourselves, you know, that survival. He put that within us, but everything after the fall went wrong. Love became lust. Love became hate. You know, all the opposite of those things that God gave us became prevalent within us. And we love ourselves. And God has placed His Holy Spirit in the heart of His believers. But the Holy Spirit does not twist your arm up behind your back and say, you're going to love. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is God's love that has been poured into our hearts. You choose to love, or you choose not to. It's that simple. That sounds too simple as Christians, and we like to use the excuse, well, I can't love like that, so God has to love like that through me. I remember a woman in one church that got aggravated with me, and I went and saw her and her husband. We had a talk, and after we talked, he said, well, I understand Rick's point. I don't think he was insulting you when he said what he said. She said, well, I'll ask the Lord to forgive you because I won't. I said, well, honey, the Lord's already forgiven me. And until you do, you can't be forgiven. Boy, that made her mad. I said, if it was that easy, well, that's what I'd do. Jesus, would you please forgive them? Because I sure can't. Jesus, would you love them? Because I ain't going to. You know. So sometimes we get the misconception that if the Holy Spirit's in us, He's going to force us to love. No, but He'll teach you to love. See, He is the love of God. He is the Spirit of truth. He will teach you the truth. He won't lie to you. He will guide you in the truth. But beloved, we have to follow Him. Paul said, walk not in the flesh. If you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, you'll live. That is a conscientious choice that you and I have to make. The love of God's in our hearts. But so is the love of self. That's why the Bible says there's this constant struggle going on. I look at it sometimes as a tug of war. That the Holy Spirit's pulling one way and I'm going the other. And we call it wooing. We have that terminology. The Holy Spirit woos. I've had Him just flat hit me with a two before sometimes. You know, hey, stupid. Open your eyes. Look over here. That's how God treats me. Maybe I'm thick-headed and He has to. But I'm saying that every circumstance that I've ever come across, one of my professors told it this way. As a mature Christian, you should respond, never react. Now, I used to get him mad in class just to watch him react. Yeah, that ain't responding, teacher, that's reaction. And he just grinned. Yeah, I know. But, you know, he said, I said a mature Christian, and we're still working on that. But it's what the point he made, it's something you choose to do. Walking in love, church, is a choice. You are responsible to do it. You do it through obedience, through following the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to look today at what I believe is one of the toughest demands placed on a believer in Christ. The most conflicting. Because now you're dealing with us. God, you're getting into our territory. You know, in a sense, you quit preaching, you went to meddling. Because I'm going to look out for number one. Paul said, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. You notice he doesn't say rejoice in tribulation. Be happy in tribulation. Paul doesn't say that because that's not how we are. None of us like tribulation and trials. But he said, rejoice in what? Hope. And your faith should keep that hope alive no matter what you're going through. That's how you can rejoice in hope. You can say, I don't care what the world brings against me or the devil brings against me or what circumstances bring against me. I've still got this hope that God's in charge. and I'm a child of the living God. And I read to the end of the book, and he wins. That's why he says, be patient in tribulation. Jesus warned his men about what was coming, and he said, I've told you this so you don't fall away. And in Revelation, he gives John some things to say to the church, and he said, in your patience, possess your souls. Patience is something we need to walk in love. Patience is faith that looks ahead and says, God's in control. And I'm going to win. No matter what I have to endure in this life, I have that hope in Jesus Christ. If they kill my body, they can't touch my soul. Jesus said that. He said, don't be afraid that people can kill your body, but they can't touch your soul. He said, but you better fear him who can destroy both of them. You know, you need to fear him. He said, be instant or constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Seek to show hospitality. Paul's talking about a consistency in your walk of love, Christian. This is when everything's coming against you. He said, look, rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Are you one of those, and don't answer this out loud, that praying is your last resort? You go through these things and you try this and you try that and until you've exhausted everything you know how to do, and then you go, well, I guess I better pray. Here's a good idea. Pray first. God wants us to pray. Jesus said he knows what you need before you ask him, but he wants you to ask. You know, should I marry that guy? Pray about it, girls. And listen, because God may say, no, don't marry him. He's an idiot. I've got somebody for you. Should I go to that school? Should I make this my lifetime career? Pray and ask God. But I'm going to warn you about something I've learned in life. Sometimes when God says, yes, this is where I want you to go, you're going to have a lot of troubles. And you'll think, I didn't hear him right. That must not have been God because I'm having trouble. Corrie Ten Boom shared in her book that one day they were having Bible studies in the barracks at Ravensbrück. People were being executed every day by the Germans. And Corrie Ten Boom and her family had been put there because they were hiding Jews from the Nazis. And her sister was able to smuggle a Bible into this concentration camp, and they were having women's Bible studies every day in the barracks. Women were coming to Christ. You know, that's usually when people don't say, well, I'd like to think about this decision for a while, because you might go outside and be shot. So there were women coming to Christ. They were having these studies. They were growing in Christ. One day, Corey's sister was praying before the study, and she said, Lord, I thank you for these fleas and lice. And Corey said, are you crazy? Why would you thank God for these irritating bugs? She said, well, the Bible says to give him thanks in all things. She said, Corey, it didn't say just all the good things. She said, there's some reason we should be thankful. And Corey's like me. She said, well, I don't get it. You know. And later on, she saw her sister, and she was just beaming. She said, you know what I overheard the guards saying? They won't come in that part of the barracks because of the fleas and the lice. She said, Corey, we're able to have our Bible studies because of those bugs. See, she chose to walk in love. She chose to thank God for the hardships. In Philippians, Paul's writing a letter to the Philippian church. You remember how he and Silas were treated at Philippi the first time they preached there? They were beaten with rods. They had their feet and their hands put in the stocks. And it said the jailer got such a charge concerning these two troublemakers, he put them in the inner cell, the darkest, dankest cell that he had, fastened their feet and hands in stocks so they couldn't move. And it said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and began to sing. And they didn't sing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That's what I would sing. Nobody knows my sorrow. I don't know what they sang, but all of a sudden the jail began to shake. And it got the jailer's attention, and he got up and the doors were open, and their shackles were off. Paul is sitting in prison in Rome when he writes this letter to the church at Philippi. They know how Pastor Paul was treated. He said, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has only served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Now listen to this. "Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." I'll tell you what, the first time I read that, I thought, poor old Paul. He'd been in that dark too long. You know, how could you sit there and say, this bunch over here is stirring up trouble. They're trying to make life hard for me, and I'm already in this prison cell. Some of the brothers are getting bolder to share their faith because of the love that they have for me, and they saw the example in Paul and said, we're going to share our faith even if we do go to jail. But Paul didn't get angry at the bunch that was talking about Jesus because they wanted to cause trouble. He said, you know what's cool? That's my interpretation of the Greek. He said, you know what's cool? They're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the topic of discussion in the palace. What's that old crazy Paul here for? Oh, he's talking about some guy named Jesus. Who's that? Oh, you remember him. They nailed him to that cross back here a few years ago. But they said he used to raise the dead and heal people and open the eyes of the blind, and he preached love for your enemies. And really? Get what I'm saying? Paul said, they're talking about Jesus, so I can rejoice in that. Are you of the same mentality, Christian, that if it was God's will to put you in a place like that where He could be glorified, could you do it? Could you sing praises, or would you sing that little song I just sang to you? Would you whine and say, this isn't right? I remember a youth class in one church that the pastor's wife was teaching, and I was the associate. The pastor and I were in his office going over some things, and she comes stomping in there enraged. I could tell she wasn't my wife, and it scared me. I could tell by the look in her eyes, this woman is mad. And I was so glad that I wasn't her husband. I thought, boy, you're in for it. You know. And she said, I do not have to put up with these mouthy kids. I demand to be respected. Some of these kids cuss, they smoke, and I don't have to put up with that. And my thought was, no, but you need to. You know. Who'd Jesus come to save? Those kids that cuss and smoke and that they're mouthy. That takes patience. They had me be VBS director one year, and one of the ladies came to me about halfway through it and said, what do you think of this? I said, now I know why some animals eat their young. Man. All these kids running around, and we give them Kool-Aid and sugary stuff, and they're just bouncing off the walls. But, you know, I really was appreciated every one of them be there. Our VBS is coming up. Let's show the love of Jesus Christ to these kids. Let's remember who we are in Christ. Because we're going to get frustrated and tired, and we could tend to snap at one another. Let's not do that. Not in front of the kids anyway. Paul said, I rejoice that Jesus is being preached. That's a guy that's got a purpose. It doesn't matter. Jesus is being preached. And he said, I can rejoice in that. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. That's talking in the church. Empathy. Be sympathetic and empathetic with one another. Paul said, if one part of the body hurts, all the body hurts. You ever hit your thumb with a hammer, guys? It hurts all the way up to your ears. It does me anyway. I mean, it hurts. But in the church, sometimes we get one part hurt and the rest of the parts pull away and let them hurt by themselves. But Paul said that actually affects the whole body. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. The Bible says, be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. It's easy for me to judge the homosexual lifestyle, but I could be drawn into that just as quick as any other man, but by the grace of God. And I've done sins that are no worse or no better than what they're doing. And I've been forgiven. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Always read that as an escape clause. Ah, God, you said as far as it depends on me. So if I want to be a knothead and not get along with people, I can say it's right there in the book. You said as far as it depends on me, but God's going to say, yeah, but I put my Holy Spirit in you. He's teaching you how to love. Are you going to disobey Him? Kind of changes the light on that a little bit. God's not giving you permission to show love to those that you will and those you won't, you won't. Jesus said it this way, if you only love people that love you, what good's that? He said, even the tax collectors do that. Sinners do that. When you walk in the agape love of God, it's that love that goes the extra mile. But you choose to do that. I'm not saying you're doing it on your own. The Holy Spirit aids us in that, but you choose to obey. Bless means to act kindly and impart benefits to the one being blessed. To act kindly. When Jesus said, bless those who curse you, it doesn't mean you just say, well, God bless you. And then walk away and say, oh man, if I get them off the side somewhere. No, it means to act kindly. Jesus said, treat people the way you want to be treated. He didn't say, those who treat you well, you treat them the way you want to be treated. He's talking about anybody. If we would stop and think before we would react, there'd be a lot of things we wouldn't say. I'm including me. I can look back on that now and think, man, if I'd have thought before I spoke, I'd have never said that. You know? I'd have never responded or reacted that way. The apostles practice it. Paul said to the church of Corinth, being reviled, we bless. He said, we're buffeted, we're homeless, we're hungry, we're naked. But Paul, in essence, says, we just keep being a blessing. That's what he means, act kindly, be a blessing. Don't repay evil with evil. That's hard, because that's the first thing we want to do. Think about it. If somebody sins against you, Christian, and you respond in sin, you're not walking in Christ's love. He said, love, let love overcome evil. Don't be overcome by evil. How am I overcome by evil? By responding exactly the way they want me to. By showing myself. Jesus taught, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. Jesus said the sign that shows that we're His disciples is we love with the love that He had for us. He left an example. Jesus never told us to do anything He didn't do. After they'd beaten Him and mocked Him and spit on Him and nailed Him to that cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I don't know if I could do that. All that pain and agony and suffering, but Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all men, good and bad. Jesus said God sends His rain on the just and the unjust. You ever think about that? Those countries that still worship these idols and these rain gods, and they do their dances and do animal sacrifices, you know, and God still sends rain to them, even though they're not acknowledging Him as the one that's sending them rain. That's the way He loves. He goes ahead and gives them rain. Now, sometimes He'll hold the rain back. Peter talked about suffering as a Christian. And he said something we don't like. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to preach it. In fact, if you preach it today, they think you're off. Peter said, "To this you have been called." He was talking to a church that was being persecuted and suffering, and they're looking around saying, "God, what's happening?" And Peter said, "I'll tell you what's happening. You've been called to this." Satan is the god of this world. And when you choose to be a light and live for Jesus Christ, the Bible says very plainly, those who live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. Not maybe, will be. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. We won't take the easy way out. We'll just keep our mouth shut, keep our penis to ourselves. We won't make any waves. Well, then you're not being effective. He said, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. When they were beating Jesus and spitting on Him and mocking Him, Peter said He didn't answer back. The Bible says that Jesus despised the shame of the cross. He hated it. But He looked ahead to the reward. He set the example. Peter said, when the world beats you down, don't think that's strange. But don't sin. He said, if you suffer unjustly for being a Christian, you haven't done anything wrong, and this pleases God that you put up with it. But He said, if you're being beaten because of your faults, what praise is there in that? I'll close with the quote that Paul uses from Proverbs 25. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. I always thought that was a vengeful kind of a deal. You'll be pouring coals of fire on his head. But the Amplified Bible has a footnote I want to share with you. I'm going to close with this. This is not to be understood as a revengeful act intended to embarrass the victim, but just the opposite. The picture is that of the high priest who on the Day of Atonement took his censer and filled it with coals of fire from the altar of burnt offering. Let me stop there and interject something in there. Any priest that offered fire in the temple that did not come off that altar, God would kill them. That's what happened to Adab and Nabihu, or whatever their name was. Aaron's sons, it said they offered strange fire. Any fire they offered had to be taken from the altar because it was holy. Now think about the implications of this. The high priest on the Day of Atonement took his censer and filled it with coals of fire from off the altar, a burnt offering, and then put incense on the coals to create a pleasing, sweet-smelling fragrance. The cloud or the smoke of the incense covered the mercy seat and was acceptable to God for atonement. When the Bible says to feed our enemies, to give them water, because you'll heap coals of fire, these are holy coals. God's holy fire provided by God's Holy Spirit. And what you're doing is showing mercy in the name of God. And that's why the Bible says the Lord will reward you. Well, what if they keep doing what they're doing? They will answer to Him, not to you. Just make sure you don't sin and repay evil with evil, because then you're going to answer for it. And in fact, God's going to say, you knew better. and you did it anyway. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I'm so glad we serve a merciful God. But boy, He sure got some hard demands sometimes. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with unforgiveness and bitterness, I encourage you to pray about this and get it right with the Lord. He says until you forgive, you can't be forgiven. You will not grow in Christ. You will stale and stagnant in your bitterness. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, you've never called out on the name of the Lord, then I ask you to come forward as we sing our song of invitation, and I'll be glad to talk to you as we sing Just As I Am. Teaching young people about the love of Jesus Christ. I want to